Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm pleased to have a in-studio guest with us. Finally, some real talent in here besides you.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, the fumble recovery. I mean, you're a Kansas
legend.
Well,
yeah, but, you know.
I mean, the Pheasant Bowl. I mean, who doesn't?
I mean, they prop you up as, like, some sort of NFL.
I know.
Like, you weren't.
No.
I mean, come on.
I don't know why they do that. I try to tell them, like, prop Cam up. Cam doesn't need to be propped up. Me, on the other hand. Eh.
So my golfing buddy from this morning, Landon Lucas,
is in
studio.
Thank you for having me.
Landon Lucas is back in town. So 4 years at Kansas.
Yep.
Rock chalk.
There you go.
Chalk. Now we'll just get this right out of the way. Because
okay.
I want to get to your story.
Yeah,
and you got some sweet charity things going on, which I want to get to too.
Okay.
But we got to talk about your story. Now, you grew up here, obviously, Richard Lucas, your dad. I've done a little, I think you even did maybe some TV with his dad.
Ducks.
Yep.
For the Ducks.
Mm-hmm.
You went to Westview.
I did.
And then Kansas. But you had a lot of, like, what were your options?
All over the place. A lot of Pac-12 was really where I was considering going early on. And then it started opening up. I took some visits out to like Tennessee. I talked to Duke a little, Harvard, Vanderbilt, and then all the Pac-12 schools. So
why Kansas? Because Kansas, I mean,
yeah,
you know, like talent coming out of it, the wazoo out there, right?
Yeah, and you know, Self warned me about that too. I remember on my visit there, he sat me down with Danny Manning and let me know, hey, we're going to recruit somebody else over you next year. So be ready for that. And I was like, okay, well, I like the challenge. And I ended up accepting it. And
yeah, because you could have gone, like some of those schools you could have gone, gone and averaged 20 and 10 right away.
And they promise you all kinds of stuff, you know, at those other schools. And so, but I like the challenge. I like the honesty from Coach Self going into it. And ultimately, it played a big factor in my decision.
Well, it's funny. It's like every kid that goes to Kansas, every kid that goes to Duke, every kid that goes to North Carolina, you're used to being the biggest fish,
yeah.
Right? I mean, is it an adjustment, though? I mean, your whole life, right? You're the guy, and you get to Kansas, and you're one of the guys.
Yeah, and it's a shock for a lot of kids when they get there, and that's why you see so many transfers. I mean, I came into Kansas with a freshman class where I believe three didn't make it out of freshman year, and then we had one more transfer after that. So, you know, it's just
a factory, and whoever can hang on.
Because
you were saying the best player, we were talking about this, and the best player that you ever saw is a guy that nobody, well, at Kansas while you were there, played with a lot of guys, is a guy that nobody would know. The Green kid, Brennan Green.
Oh, right? Yeah, the shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude, the guy was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But he couldn't keep his head on, he couldn't, you know, keep his stuff in line, and he never played.
Yeah. I mean,
and now he's long gone.
It's tough.
It's just like they just bring in talent, and whoever sticks, like you, you're smart enough to figure it out. They'll keep you. If not, like LeGerald Vick, boom.
Gone.
Right in the middle of the season, gone.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So we got to get this right out of the way. Landon, for my Jayhawks,
mm-hmm.
He was part of the team that lost to the Ducks.
That got ducked.
Okay. Here goes.
In Kansas City in the NCAA tournament a couple years ago.
Yes.
Huge win. We have a lot of Duck fans that listen to us. We're the home of the Ducks here. And so a lot of their fans, like that was you got to admit, that was a huge game for them.
It was huge. I understand too. I mean, I being from here, I heard about it leading up to the game from everybody. You know, my father was on shows talking about it.
He was on this show.
Yeah, we brought him on.
This was the one? Okay.
Yeah, he came on here.
So I knew how big it was for Oregon, and it obviously was big for us too. But we were very confident going into that game, and around halftime, not so confident. So
yeah, they were good.
That was a good one.
They caught you off guard,
didn't they?
Well, we didn't underestimate them at all. I think it was a shock to us coming off of the run we were having and then beating Purdue so handily, to not be able to just shoot the ball. It's like we forgot how to shoot and forgot how to play. And And then you just see it kind of trickle down, and then it rubs off on the whole team. And, you know, at halftime, I think it was only a 3-point game or 5-point game or something like that. I think Dorsey hit a big three to going into half, and yet we felt like something's wrong. You know, it just was one of those games that just something doesn't feel right. And unfortunately, the way the tournament works, you can't recover from that, you know. And so that was it after that.
What's the deepest run you made in the tournament when you were in Kansas?
It was two Elite Eights. So my final two seasons, we were the junior year, we were the number one overall seed. My senior year, I believe we were either number one overall or number two overall, but still a number one seed. Two great teams and two Elite. It was like our bad game. Every team's going to have a bad game in the tournament. And our bad game came in the Elite Eight twice.
But it's interesting that for, you know, Oregon obviously made the run to the Final Four. But for Oregon or 95% of the teams, you make an Elite Eight.
Oh, yeah.
You're hanging banners. Yeah, yeah. And yet
we're disappointed about
that. I listen to you talk about not one but two Elite Eights.
Oh, it's disappointing. Yeah. I mean, when you come off of a season like we had those last few years and are at a school like that, you're expected to win it all. And we had it in our head that we were going to win it all. And so it's tough, especially that junior year. I mean, Villanova ended up going on to win it all. And they smacked Oklahoma in the Final Four and then hit that shot in the championship game. So it's tough, but, I mean, that's what you get for going to a school like that.
Well, that's the tournament. This is Landon Lucas. And, you know, as a Kansas fan, it's like it's agonizing for us. I can't imagine what it's like for you guys. Like, what is it like to have all that pressure and playing in the, you know, in the one and done scenario like that, the NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, I get asked that all the time. And actually, you know, the pressure during the game and all that isn't, you don't feel it as much. I mean, I even remember there was the triple overtime game against Oklahoma where we went to, it was 1-2 during the regular season. We went in triple overtime. I've watched that game back and was more nervous than I was playing in those three overtimes, you know? So that's kind of how the tournament is. However, I will say that first weekend is just stressful because you don't want to lose. I mean, as
well,
a top
seed. Kansas has
they've had their moments.
They've had their moments. Oh, I was going to say, it's not necessarily an undeserved reputation for a school as good as Kansas. Look, there's a reputation there for getting bounced early.
Oh, my first 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year, we lost in the round of 32 that first weekend, you know. And that first weekend is just stressful. You know, every other team is out there having a good old time. They're just happy to make the tournament. And we're sitting there like, if we go home, you know, it's hard to go back to Lawrence after that, you know. And so, and then as soon as you make it to the second weekend, it starts, that's when we start having fun. So. That first weekend is definitely as those top seeds go into it, it's stressful.
When you play, you mentioned you're playing a team that's a 15 or a 16 seed, and they've got nothing to worry about. Yeah. How much of a difference is it when you have a talent level of Kansas and you're playing a smaller school? Is it as great as we think it is? Is it an overall talent thing? What's the difference between the elite schools and you know, the back half of those tourney teams?
I'll be honest, those teams are pretty talented, but, you know, you kind of go into the game and the first 5 minutes always seem like, oh, wow, they're a little better than we expected. Because we go a whole season without playing a team of that level.
Yeah.
Especially going through the Big 12, and our non-conference is pretty good usually too. And then you just slowly look up at the scoreboard, and then 10 minutes later look up again, and next thing you know, we're up 35 or something like that. So, you know, the talent is there, and that's why, you know, if you don't bring it that night, if that's your off game, you could go home, as you saw with Virginia last year. But over the course of a game, you'll start to see the gap. So,
and then you went and played. So after Kansas, you went and played in Japan.
Yes.
Russia.
Yeah. So after Kansas, I went through the summer league with the Celtics. I was with them all the way up until that season. Ended up going over to Tokyo, and then
blend right in.
Speaks Japanese
A little bit.
He does.
But then I ended up going over to Russia, where again I didn't blend in. But
how was
it? Was
that
cold too?
Yeah.
It was cold, and I couldn't understand most of them.
Well, didn't we had that soccer player on who played in Russia who was reporting back like coaches were.
Yeah, it was not.
What was she saying? Crazy? Like, oh my God, yeah, like
it was Thunderdome basically. Like, there's no No code of conduct.
There aren't really any rules, so to speak.
No, you got to be careful, you know, some places, because they will take advantage of that, and they will. There's some teams you gotta kind of vet through to make sure you're going to the right spot.
So playing overseas, is that, well, I mean, obviously it's a good thing or guys wouldn't do it, but are all those leagues like really helpful to you?
They are. I mean, they're really good competition out there, to be honest. I mean, like EuroLeague and stuff like that, you'll see. I mean, those are some of the top players outside of the NBA. And that's how you see a guy like Luka, you know, play and grow up playing with Real Madrid in the EuroLeague. And then, I mean, he's transitioned just fine into the NBA. So it's good talent out there. I mean, it's tough. It's definitely not easy.
How do you decide? Like, you can obviously make a living over there, right? You're good money, but you're not making NBA money.
Yeah.
And, you know, you bounce around country to country. It can be tough. When do you decide enough is enough? Or when do you decide that this is a life that I want to pursue for 10, 15 years?
Well, I would say it's a lot of guys look for stability overseas. So if you could get with one of those big teams, you know, in a good place, if you end up being with an Olympiacos or a, you know, Real Madrid or Barcelona or something, and you sign a long-term contract, that's pretty good. And you're going, you know, long-term to long-term, living in a nice place, your celebrities over there getting paid a ton, tax-free. Like, it's great. Ooh. You know, so that's okay for a lot of people. I think the hardest decision for a lot of people is when they give up the NBA dream, because, you know, you see a lot of guys going through the G League, going through that process, and then it's like, you know, overseas is a lot of money. And it's not top end NBA money, but at the end of the day, it could be low end NBA money. So, it's that decision. And then at some point, once your body kind of starts giving out, then you got to make the decision. Okay. Am I done?
Is there that stigma there? Like you said, with guys, it's like, it's the NBA or bust, and guys have a hard time wrapping their head around that.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, you don't really learn much about how overseas works and how fun it actually is. I mean, with the Champions League, the Euro League, all the stuff going on out there, I knew not one thing about it. I knew about the NBA. And you get over there and you're like, oh, this is kind of fun. You know, it's a good time, a good experience. But if until then, you're just hung up on the NBA, you know, and that's all that you're striving for. And that's why you see guys get caught up in the G League and just going on 10 days
the G
and be
League.
Happy with that.
Isn't that horrible? It's everything
terrible.
I hear about that league is like,
it's
that
terrible.
Is not.
There's bus rides and crappy hotels.
Oh, Oklahoma City, I think, even stays in like the same houses and stuff like the players do. And compared to overseas, even though I was in Russia and stuff, the apartment they got me had a sauna in it, like in my room. And like, it was a nice little loft and you're getting paid well and stuff. I would much rather do that than bus around. I mean, the two ways and the different things, if you're guaranteed call-ups, okay, give the G League a shot. If not, you know, I'd
rather go overseas.
You know, if you're okay with adjusting to it and being away from home, which is the big thing for a lot of people, if you're okay with that, there's no reason to stay in the
I would assume a lot of that, too, is just a maturity level. No offense to a lot of,
it's true.
I mean, it's the same thing, you know, me bumming around the low parts of the NFL for a year or two. A lot of those kids that are coming out of school are just your grown children.
Yeah.
And the idea of being overseas away from mom and dad and away from the structure of the NCAA where everything is taken care of for you, I'm sure for a lot of kids or young men is just, it's too much to handle with the language barrier, culture barrier, all that, and being able to keep your head on.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Landon Lucas in studio. I want to ask you about Zion.
Okay.
I want your take on Zion.
Okay.
Suk wants to needle you about Finley
Prep.
Yeah,
we got to talk about Finley Prep and okay. the
wonderful classes.
Yes,
right?
That you went to.
Our listeners want to know, we already have a text, they want to know how much Bill Self paid you.
No
so,
comment.
Here they come. Yeah. All right, more with Landon Lucas in studio next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're in studio with Landon Lucas, who played his college ball at Kansas. And right now, you are, we were talking about you were in Japan and you were in Russia.
Yep.
But what are you doing now for this upcoming season?
So for this upcoming season, I decided to turn my efforts back towards the NBA. I figured I still am young enough to give this, you know, another good run. 25. Which is old in NBA age, but, you know, I still have a chance. And after my experience with the Celtics and how that went, I mean, it was really good. And they ended up freeing up some space with the trade that they made with Avery Bradley. But, you know, it was there. And so I really just want to pursue the NBA right now. And I know that might mean a little G League, but I'm hoping that it means, you know, at least some call ups with that or some guaranteed, you know, some kind of two way.
Yeah.
When do you find that out? Like, what's that probably? Do you wait until the off season and then catch on with someone? Yeah. Agent talking to people right now?
Agents talking to people. And you know, they talk to him, kind of talk about what their opportunities are on the team. And then you go into summer league, and then summer league is kind of where you, kind of establish yourself with that team or get picked up by a different team going into training camp. And then you kind of just go through training camp, and I'm sure you know through the NFL process. I mean, it's a long.
You got to
make
it
through different stages, and have things go your way. I mean, if you're, you know, player 8 through 15, you just gotta have some things, find a little niche on the team that works, and next thing you know, it turns into a nice little career after that.
I've always said it. I played with guys over in NFL Europe, but you play with guys in camp that you thought were just absolute dog crap.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and you see that they're playing 9 years in the league. And another guy that you just would have sworn was the best thing ever.
He didn't make it up.
And he didn't make it. It's so much. Yeah. Just right place, right time, and a system that fits you and a coach that believes in.
And like, and that's the thing. I mean, a coach really, if you're one of those later, if you're not in the main rotation, you're only getting in for injuries or something happening. And so if that's the case, they're going to pick guys more so based off of how you fit in with the team. How do you make those other guys better? You know, I was at Oklahoma City and I went through a workout, and every single drill that they put me through was how Westbrook drives to the hoop and how he would, you know, where they want you to be around him, different things like that. That's all they care about. If you're the type of guy that you're going to come into the game and get him, you know, his way, I promise you that you're not going to be on the team. I don't care how good you are, but, you know, you're not going to be there. And so that's really all it is, and that's what they're looking for.
Interesting. All right, so then Zion, what do you think of him? I know you saw a little bit of the game last night.
Yeah, he's a
you guys same size, right? Like, so what are you, 6'8"?
So flat footed, I measure in at 6'8" and about 3/4. So that means with shoes and with the program measurements, I'm 6'10".
Right.
He's
Kyler
probably
Murray measurements.
I know, right? But he's probably about, I'm guessing, probably 6'7".
So people call him like a tweener because he's, you know, 6'7". Is that a thing, or is he just going to go to the NBA and dominate?
He's going to the NBA. I mean, you'll see that the way he dominates is just, it's a man amongst boys. And it's how he was in high school, and it's how he is now in college, and it's how he's going to be in the NBA. I mean, you can tell by a night like last night where he doesn't, you know, he goes 13 for 13. That shows that, I mean, it's
too
easy for him.
Yeah, it's
easy.
Easy,
you know, and when you're that size, it doesn't matter what position you play. You know, the way the NBA is now, just get him the ball, you know, drive to the hoop. So,
and a lot of it's about wingspan too. Like, a lot of people get caught up in height.
Yes.
But it's like, it's not about where your head's at. It's what's where
exactly
you can reach.
And that's, and when we were going through, draft workouts and stuff like that, I ended up going to a majority of the teams, and almost each one of them would do the height, but they did a ton of, you know, standing reach, wingspan, and they put a lot more emphasis on that because it makes sense. Where you can reach up in the air is a lot more effective than where the top of your head is.
Talk about that and just what that means, because you see all the time in college guys that are just phenomenal scorers.
Yeah.
You know, whether, you know, you're talking about a big man or the one that I remember, like Jimmer Fredette or Adam Morrison, someone like that shoots the lights out, can score from anyone on the floor. And they get in the NBA, and you can't get a shot off. Is that one of the biggest differences between the college game and the NBA? Because you don't think about the NBA as being like this defensive-minded league. But you got these guys in the NCAA that can't be stopped, and they can't get a shot off in the NBA.
I mean, it's true. I mean, it's exactly what you said. You can't get a shot off. I mean, you can't get an open look, whereas in college, man, they could, you know, come off a few screens, and they were there. It's tough. That's why the one thing that does translate – that you know for sure is that size, that athleticism that he has, that's going to translate. You know, the same way that people talk about rebounding translating or different things like that, there's some things that no matter what level you go to, it's still going to be there. And that size and strength is one thing that's going to translate just fine.
And does the body have to change a little bit? I'm not saying he's fat.
Yeah.
But he does not there's not many guys that look like him in the NBA. Yeah. He looks more defensive lineman-ish than he does. And I remember like Kevin Love at UCLA. And then Kevin Love in the NBA, it's a completely different body type.
I think it will change a little bit, but I mean, every time I'm always worried that he might get hurt, you know, with the way he jumps and lands at.
That's a lot of weight.
But I've heard from people who are at Duke with him that sometimes he weighs in 280 plus easy, you know, but I've also heard with guys who were with LeBron in Miami that was a normal weigh in for him as well. And so, you know, it seems outrageous to us, but he might just be one of those, you know, once in a lifetime type freaks like LeBron, where it's like, okay, it looks like that's too much, but he can make it work.
Do you have to go?
No.
Can you stick around?
Of course.
Let's do another one because Sook's got to needle you about Finley.
Yeah, I've got questions. I need answers.
Okay.
Yeah. Answers that only Finley Prep can give you, I'm sure, that fine academic career.
I'm curious too. And I want to get into a lot of your charity stuff. I know you did a lot of good stuff in Lawrence that you want to bring back here. And so we'll talk about that coming up. This is Landon Lucas in studio on The Fan. All right, we're back. We've got Landon Lucas in studio. For one more segment, kind enough to stick around. We're just shooting the breeze about basketball. So we have a mutual friend who introduced us, of course, being Rock Chalk, you know.
Kansas legends. The both of you.
Yeah, and now we're buddies.
Two Elite Eights, you with the Pheasant Bowl. I mean, recovery.
That's right.
Am I missing something? Was there some big...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're missing a lot.
Yeah, you're missing a lot, Landon.
Okay.
Yeah. He recovered a fumble once in youth football in the Pheasant Bowl. Maybe you've heard of it. It was kind of a big deal.
I'm surprised you don't know.
I should have done my research. Here.
Like the 1987 Pheasant Bowl is a big deal in Kansas lore.
I think it was 1986. But, well, anyway, the story is my mom, she cleans out the garage and stuff. She keeps everything.
Okay.
And then she cleans it out and sends it to me as if I want it.
Yeah.
And she sent me a program from like the 1986 Pheasant Bowl where I was in like eighth grade. I was playing football. It's like the 2 years I played football. And there it was. I was in the program, the old Steelers. Yeah. So I was an athlete. I know we played golf this morning.
Yes.
And
I knew you were an athlete.
Yeah.
From
you
that.
Saw it up close. Yes. But yeah, I mean, it goes all the way back to 1986. Also, I want to play something for you from one of our listeners. He reminded us of this. So this is me on the air.
Okay.
Watching Kansas lose to Michigan. Do you remember? It says before you got there.
Trey Burke.
Yes. Trey Burke.
Yeah. This is the Trey Burke shot.
Trey Burke just took over the game.
Yeah. So this is the clutch, the double clutch kind of three.
Yep.
And we're getting ready to sign off.
This was live on the air right as we were signing off the show. I'm watching it live.
We're turning off.
That was it.
You've been listening to Prime.
See this thing over here? Yeah. That was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just slowly got up and left the studio.
Yeah. That's all Kansas fans.
God, I was so pissed at that.
That's all Kansas. I mean, we would lose a game and the city of Kansas would be in a slump for a week.
Yeah. Well, the state, but yeah, you said city.
State of Kansas.
Yeah, but well, you went to Finley Prep.
Yes.
You know.
I have to ask about this.
Yes.
Peel all this. We'll get to the charity thing in a minute. We'll probably keep you for another segment because this is what we do. But I got to ask about Finley Prep. So I know your dad. Dad's a great guy. Oregon through and through. You, from here, but in typical basketball fashion, you played at three different high schools.
I did.
Including Finley Prep, which is my favorite school in the country because it's not a school. It's just some rich guy's house.
Yes, Finley is a auto shop guy down there in Vegas. And he started a basketball team it was supposed to be a kind of a feeder into UNLV because he is I think he's alumni there.
Yeah, and he's a big booster.
Booster, okay. Well, anyways, they paired up with a school, which was Henderson. I think it was Henderson, Nevada, Henderson something. but it was a like K through fifth grade school. And then they brought in teachers.
You went to an elementary school.
Pretty much. We were walking down the halls with little kids running around like our ankles and
that's
stuff.
That's what Finley is?
That's what Finley is. And then we would just go into the class and it would be us.
So you go there. Okay, so you go to play ball, and you play ball, and it's like AAU, like big time ball, right? Yes.
Yeah, and you live with, you live at the rich guy's house, right? It's like a mansion.
He has a few houses that he
and you stay
team,
there.
The team stays together.
And for classes, you're saying you go to like some school in Henderson, and it's a K through five school.
Yes. And then we would have our own. We weren't in classes with the little kids, right. But we'd be walking down the hall with them. And then we would go into our classrooms, which they had designated teachers for us.
Okay.
And we traveled so much. We played so many away games that it really, you know, most of our things were tutors. But
yeah. Was it legit?
So I was at the time being recruited by Stanford and Harvard. Mm-hmm. And they both had to send people to the school just to check it out and make sure that they, you know, and they recommended that I went home and took some AP classes if I wanted to have a chance to get in. So that's kind of what we'll tell you a little bit about Finley.
One of my favorite parts about the Finley Prep story, I guess it goes that the K through five, the Henderson like International Academy,
that's it. Yeah,
Henderson International, yeah. Right? They were going to shutter the doors. They didn't have enough students. And so they were just going to close doors. And the rich guy that founded Finley Prep just wrote him a check.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he just wrote him a check. I think this was after you left.
Okay.
He needed a school
to stay open.
To stay open. So Finley Prep is just a rich dude's house, and he needed a school to stay open. So he wrote them a check just to keep the doors open.
Wow.
So it stopped even being a K through five school. It was just
So they don't even have students there anymore.
I don't think so. I think it's just a school that he keeps open now with his checkbook so that he can then send his
for the 10 people on the team to go to.
Yes. Right. I think it's a high school now of 10 kids.
You did 1 year there?
I did 1 year there.
Why did you leave there?
Well, I at the time had I signed with Kansas. So I was already committed. It wasn't huge for the recruiting process. And then
you wanted to go to a real high school?
It'd be nice to at least go to classes
with other students and stuff like that, not with little kids.
dating life's probably a little harder.
And yeah, it was a little tough. But so we decided that, you know, it's best for me to go in and go.
Okay.
Home.
Like, how shady is AAU basketball? Like, is it all?
Yeah.
It's just yeah.
I mean, it is. You'll get different levels of it too. I was fortunate to find a really good team up in Washington that I went and played with for most of my career, but there's different levels of shadiness. So.
Well, then you get them into the sneaker companies.
Yeah.
And they're involved in AAU, and then the NCAA thing now, and Kansas is under the microscope now.
Unfortunately.
What do you think of all this stuff? Like, it's so hard to reconcile.
It's a bummer. I mean, it's just a bummer that it even comes up. I mean, I think the kids should be paid, but the problem is it's just too, I mean, even if that happened, there would still be some shadiness, and I mean, it's going to be there. So,
Kids open about it? Like, I mean, obviously, like, you're not getting into specifics, but when you're at Kansas, you're at Duke, you're at North Carolina.
Hey, this is how much I got.
Yeah, you're with high profile kids, and you know that kids are driving certain cars. Yeah, is it amongst players? Is it something that people talk about, or is
not
it
much.
Really just
not
everyone
much.
Keeps it quiet?
You know, not much. And also, I mean, most of these kids that get any benefits, most of the time it's going to their family anyways.
Yeah.
And they try to not to be too aware of it themselves. So, I mean, if there's anything going on, you know, it's not going to be just, hey, locker room talk. Hey, this is how much they put in my bag.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but it feels like it's just only the elite kids. I mean, it's not it's not everybody, but.
No, I mean, that's the ones that you hear about. I mean, the big, most, they're not going to pay a ton. They don't need to, you know, because it's like they can go out and get, they don't even really need to pay for the big,
right,
you know, recruits because they could get somebody else. But I mean, it is what it is.
So is it your opinion that, again, generally speaking, a head coach has to know this stuff's going on?
Yeah.
But he's.
I think that there's very, very little involvement. I mean, very little to none. Whether he knows or not, that's tough because the head coach knows almost everything. I mean, Coach Self knew where we were at all times. I mean, but with that being said, it's hard for me to believe that those top, you know, Self, Coach K, any of those top coaches would ever personally be the ones to.
You got people for that.
Well, yeah, why,
unless
why would
you're
you
Rick Pitino.
Yeah, Rick, I don't know what was going on.
Dude, that guy.
Well, when you, look, Rick does whatever the hell Rick wants to do. Look at that white suit. When you wear a white suit on the sidelines like that with a red tie, Colonel Sanders.
He's over there in Greece right now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's coaching in Greece.
I bet you he's having a great time.
Wait. We tried everything. We played four white guys and an Egyptian. I mean, we tried everything.
Did you hear that?
Who was that?
So that's Rick Pitino.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Like they ran up the score on someone, and someone asked him about it, and he defended it by saying that at the end of the game, they were playing four white guys and an Egyptian.
They were trying not to win.
They were trying. It just happened.
Greece called you, right?
Don't you have some opportunities there? Yeah, so.
Is that his team?
It was not his team, but there's a few teams in Greece, and it was one of their rivals, I guess. But I would have, I would have been out there playing against Rick.
That wouldn't be a bad gig, going to Greece and playing ball.
I wouldn't mind it. Dude. I'm telling you, Greece, like I said, Barcelona, any of those places, hey, if you can go out there, have a good time, why not?
Okay, so now that you're back.
Yes.
Your charity, tell us about your charity, the one that you did in Lawrence, and then what you're bringing here.
We started a foundation in Lawrence, Kansas when I graduated. And we really wanted to provide opportunity and access to kids in sports who didn't have it otherwise. So it was something I kind of wanted to do in the future, but the amount of support that I got from Kansas fans, as you know, they're very supportive out there. They got behind us, and we got this thing started. We were able to help a ton of kids, provide scholarships for them. We're now moving into opening up parks around Lawrence. And really, just like I said, providing whatever is needed between transportation, equipment, fees. Sports are getting expensive these days, and we know how impactful a kid playing in sports can be for them. Outside of the court or the field, the life lessons that you learn are so big, and that's why we decided to go with Sports for Life as the scholarships that we gave up, because it's for your whole life. You know, you learn a lot that you take into the business world, you take into whatever you do after, that some kids aren't fortunate enough to be able to get.
Well, I feel like too, and you and I talked about this a little bit, but I just feel like, because I had a kid, and I was a kid who was not, contrary to social media, not an elite athlete, right? And my kid just wanted to play.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to go get a college scholarship anywhere. And I feel like having gone through that with him, and through myself, although it was a little different back then, it's either you're elite and you get on the elite teams and you're with the elite coaches, or there really isn't an opportunity in sports for you anymore. It feels like that, you know?
And it's true. And the thing is, if you are elite, you are fortunate. Even if you don't have the funds, there's people who will help.
Yep.
You know,
if you're
there was
player.
Times where I didn't, I didn't have the funds to play or the fees, and people would help out. But I promise you, if I wasn't, very talented, it might have been a little bit tougher to find that.
Exactly.
So we don't want to leave those kids behind, because they can still gain just as much, if not more, from playing in that sport. And so we want to really make sure that we don't leave any kids behind. If any kid wants to participate in anything, we've had a kid do archery. I mean, whatever it is that they're into, we want to support that, something that they're passionate about, and make sure that they have those opportunities.
So you're bringing that here?
I am bringing that here, and we're starting that up. We're partnering with a bunch of people out here and really getting going and hoping to maybe even do more than what we've done in Lawrence and start making an impact on the place where I'm from.
So what website or what is it called? And what?
So it's Landon Lucas Foundation right now, and you can find that online and through our social media. And we'll be announcing a little bit more on our social media about the partnerships and the things that we are doing here in Portland. So you could follow along for that. But that's really good. How you could find it. And we would love, as we make this move, any suggestions or ideas that come about, we're open to everything.
Good for you, man. That's great. Thank you very much. Cool. And the guy who introduced us is doing a little bit of that too. We gotta give Quincy a shout out, man.
Yeah.
Quincy's doing what you're talking about through golf.
Yes.
And helping
I know Quincy because he did that for me when I was younger with the PYGA, and he taught me how to play golf.
He was your golf coach.
I don't know if you could tell today that I actually had a few lessons when I was younger, but he taught me, and that was huge, and so the stuff he's doing is great too. And really, sports is just huge. I mean, that's the thing. You don't even have to be good at it, but you can still get the lessons from them.
And Quincy Hurd, by the way, is his name. And he's who introduced us. And he's with Summit Golf Foundation. He does great work.
Great guy. You did get the
I did get his money. I got back in his wallet, and he's pissed about it.
Oh, Man.
$30
And the golf pro too, right? I mean,
he's a golf pro, yeah. And
that's big time.
Humble brag.
Who won?
Humble brag.
So did you guys go? Did he give you strokes?
Yeah. He has to. He has to. He's a pro. But he's a zero.
I thought that you might have got him without them today.
I probably would have. I probably didn't even need the strokes.
Oh, wow.
That's how athletic
see.
I am.
We'll see. Yeah,
from fumble recovery to this, the athleticism, it's
through the roof.
It's legendary.
It's crazy. Well, thanks, man. It was good to.
Thank you for having me.
Good to connect. Yeah. You're welcome in here anytime. Anytime you want to get the word out about the charity or anything you're doing, let us know so we can hit the area. I think it's important. And it's Landon Lucas. Thank you very much. And we'll see you again
soon. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.